Take your Bibles. We're back in Luke chapter 13 tonight. If we have time, we're going to finish up the chapter tonight. You remember last week, we were sort of in the middle of the chapter, and we talked about the kingdom of God. Jesus used two things to talk to the folks he was talking about and to us about what the kingdom of God is like. He compares it to a mustard seed, which was the smallest, one of the smallest seeds there is, and how when that seed is planted, it grows into a tree, and then all the birds in the air can find a home in it. And then he compared it to yeast, which gets in and affects the whole loaf. And he was speaking that the kingdom of God was just getting a small start as he walked the face of the earth, but it was going to grow to great proportions, and it was going to affect every area of life, every area of society. Tonight, he talks a little bit in the passage of Scripture we're going to talk about. He talks a little bit about how to get into that kingdom. And he has a special warning to the Jews that if they're not careful, they're going to miss it. Even though they had a leg up, even though they had an advantage, if they're not careful, they're going to miss the kingdom of God. So we start in verse 22 tonight. I think that's where we ended last night, but I wanted to say a couple other things about it. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Now, in reality, Dr. Luke, in that one verse, covers about 3 months, the latter part of Jesus' ministry. From this point, at the time of this verse, it's about 3 months until Jesus is going to go to Jerusalem for his trial and crucifixion. In that 3 months, he's going to spend some time in Perea. Then he's going to go to Bethany and be with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That's when Mary anointed his feet with the oil. He's going to go back to Galilee for a little bit, and then he's going to go back to Perea for a little bit, and then he's going to make the final trip to Jerusalem and be there for the last Passover supper, and then his trial and crucifixion. And so Luke summarizes all of that in verse 22, all those travels. He says he's on his way back to Jerusalem, and then tells us some things that happened during those 3 months. In verse 23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Somebody asked him a question. How come there's not many people being saved? Just a few being saved. And Jesus didn't directly answer the question, nor did he respond directly to the one that answered it. Notice in the last part of that verse, it says, and he said unto them. And so again, he was not just speaking to the man, he was speaking to the crowd that was always gathered around him. He said in verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Jesus is saying, look, the entry into the kingdom of God is not based on election. The question that was asked in the previous verse, most Bible scholars think it was asked because there were some in the Jewish community at that time that believed that only those that were elected by God would get into the kingdom of God. And Jesus, and so they asked the question. How come God's only elected so few? How come there's not more people being saved? How come there's not more people entering into the kingdom of God? And Jesus, his answer, strive to enter in at the strait gate, he's saying is entrance into the kingdom of God is not dependent on God's election, because God has elected everybody to enter the kingdom of God. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith, enough faith when they hear the gospel to respond to it. And Jesus is saying, so it's not dependent on God electing you to go to heaven. It's you striving to enter in to that gate. And that gate is straight, or that gate is narrow. Now, that word straight, it comes from a Greek word where we get our word agonize from. It was originally used to describe athletes as they were competing for the prize, competing for the in a contest to win the contest. It means to strain every part of your being to achieve the prize. And so what Jesus was saying is, hey, to enter the kingdom of God, And again, he wasn't saying that we need to work. He wasn't saying that. But he was saying is, you've got to get through that narrow gate. There's going to be many that seek to enter and shall not be able. Now you say, well, what does that mean? That means somebody that wants to be saved can't be saved? No, here's what Jesus was talking about. Notice what the next verse says. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Jesus was talking to the Jews. His ministry had lasted almost 3 years at this point. He had repeatedly talked to them about the kingdom of God. They had repeatedly rejected him. Now again, they were his people. They were the people that God chose. They were the people that God set up his covenant with, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were the people that he sent the prophets to. And what Jesus was saying, look, you better be careful, because you've rejected me over and over and over. There's going to come a time when the door's going to be shut. And once the master shuts the door, you may stand out there and you may seek to get in. You may knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. There's going to come a time when the door's going to be shut. And even though you stand at the door and knock, it's not going to be open. Verse 26, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And the Jews will say, well, but we fellowshiped with you. You walked in our midst. You taught in our streets. And they made that plea. Verse 27, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And so even though they say, hey, we fellowshiped with you. We ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets, trying to get him to open the door after he shut the door. He instead of opening the door, he uses their argument against them. He says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 28. And so look, here's what Jesus was saying. You've enjoyed my fellowship. Yes, I have stood in the streets and I have taught you, but you didn't listen. You didn't heed it. You didn't repent. You didn't respond. You didn't come through the straight gate. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What he was saying to the Jews is, you don't come into the kingdom of God by keeping the law. You don't come into the kingdom of God by offering sacrifices in the temple. He would tell people today, you don't come into the kingdom of God by turning over a new leaf. You don't come into the kingdom of God by getting baptized or joining a church or tithing. There's only one gate into the kingdom of God. It's a straight and narrow gate, and that gate is the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There is no other way. They'd heard. The Jews had heard Jesus teach. They'd heard him preach. But they never believed. They never trusted. They had enjoyed his fellowship. They had enjoyed his presence. They saw his miracles. But they never received him. And so what Jesus was saying, he was giving them a warning. Hey, you're going to miss it. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to miss it. Beware. Look, I think we were talking about it yesterday. I can't remember I know how it came up, and I won't go into the detail, but we were talking about election yesterday. And people that believe in election, that only the people that God elects to go to heaven are going to be saved, so why should we send missionaries? Why should we worry about telling people? I mean, if God's electing them to go to heaven, doesn't matter what we do, they're going to go to heaven. If he's not electing them to go to heaven, doesn't matter what we do, they're going to go to hell. Well, we don't believe in election. We believe that God has chosen everybody to go to heaven, and it's our choice as to what we do with Jesus Christ, whether we go or not. But people that hear the gospel over and over and over and over again and reject it over and over and over again, better be careful. Because sooner or later, the Holy Spirit is going to withdraw the opportunity. Now, you that have heard me teach before, I believe that's the greatest sin a person can commit, to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that's what the Bible calls the unpardonable sin. I believe there comes a time after the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sin. It's the Holy Spirit that woos us to the Savior. And the Holy Spirit will keep doing that and keep doing that and keep doing that and keep doing that. But sooner or later, the Holy Spirit will say, I'm done. I'm done. And the door closes. And that person will never be convicted of their sin, will never be wooed to the Savior. They'll end up going to hell. And again, it's not because God didn't elect them. God wanted them to go to heaven. He wants everybody to go to heaven. But they rejected the gospel over and over and over and over again. So he says in verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's going to go on in hell. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth because of the fire that's there. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth because it's a place of total darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth because it's the bottomless pit. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth because the worm that dieth not resideth in hell. But there's something else that will lead to weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus talks about it there in verse 28. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. In the kingdom of God will be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All the ones that God, well, the one that God established his covenant with to start with Abraham, and then passed it to his son Isaac, and then passed it to his son Jacob. I mean, all the forefathers of the Jews, they'll be in the kingdom of God. All the prophets, the ones that God had sent to his people to remind them of that covenant, to remind them that they were God's chosen people, to remind them that the Messiah was coming. And when they look into the kingdom of God and see all them there and realize that they're Jews, they were part of God's chosen family, and now they're without the kingdom of God because they rejected Christ. But it gets worse. Verse 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. So all the Gentiles, the Jews, will be able to look into the kingdom of God and see all the Gentiles that are now part of the kingdom of God. They'll sit down in the kingdom of God because they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have a heritage to depend on like the Jews thought they had. They didn't have a law like the Jews thought they had and could depend on. They came into the kingdom of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the other thing that will cause weeping and gnashing of teeth in heaven is the realization on the part of the Jews that they were part of God's chosen people. They had a heritage. They were given the law, the oracles of God. They were given the prophets to teach them those laws and to draw them back to God when they strayed away. And yet over and over and over and over again, they rejected the one that their forefathers and the prophets told about. They rejected the one that came in fulfillment of all the prophecies. They rejected the one that came to be their Savior, their Messiah. He didn't measure up to what they were expecting when he came the first time, but if they would have listened to the prophets, they would have known that he had to come first of all as a suffering Savior, that the Messiah would come later, and they missed it. And they'll be weeping and gnashing in hell by the Jews because they'll think of the opportunity that they had and missed. And by the way, it'll be also true of people today. People that come to this place, for example, and hear the gospel week after week, And I can tell by looking at some people, they're under conviction because I was there at one point. I can remember standing in the pew and the preacher preaching, and I knew I needed to be saved. And I would stand during the invitation. Sometimes I would weep. Sometimes I would dig my fingernails into the back of the pew. And I knew in my heart that I needed to be saved. But I was stubborn, and I was rebellious, and I was shy. I didn't want to walk down and stand in front of a bunch of people. And the people that come and hear the gospel and reject it time after time after time, oh, we need to pray for them. We need to help and pray that the Holy Spirit would just remove whatever it is that's blocking them from coming and receiving Christ as their Savior. I will finish with verse 30 tonight, and then we'll do the rest of the chapter next week. Here's what verse 30 says. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Here's what Jesus was saying to the Jews. You think the Gentiles are last. You think they're outside of the reach of God's mercy. You think you're first because God's love was first demonstrated or directed toward you. But if you're not careful, your positions are going to be reversed. He uses the word behold, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. That word, behold, suggests that some of them may be surprised when we get to the end and they see what happens. You see, the Jews, you've sought different ways to get into the kingdom of God. You thought keeping the law or keeping the ceremonies, keeping all the legalism that the law had was the way into the kingdom of God, and you rejected the straight gate. You rejected me. And the Gentiles, they came to Christ. By faith, they entered in to the straight gate. So you're going to be excluded, and they're going to be included. So the first, you, shall be last. And what you thought was the last, them, shall be first. They'll be in, and you'll be out. Again, not because you're a Jew, but because you didn't take of the opportunities that God gave you as a Jew. You didn't come. You didn't receive the one that was sent. No one should presume upon the grace of God apart from Christ. It's only because of him. Neither should one despair of the grace of God when it's freely offered to every person. Doesn't matter what your sin is. We have a Savior that paid for them all and offers his salvation to every person. Every person. Every person. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.